Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Ladies Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Mariah. I hope that you are all doing well. I'm doing fabulously. It is okay. Let me just start from the beginning because this episode is obviously going up on a different day than normal. This episode is going up on a Friday instead of my typical Tuesday upload day. Because this week I'm talking about skincare and I got really, really excited thinking about talking about skincare. So I literally sat down and wrote, I don't know a page count because I did it on my iPad in the notes, but so many notes. I did the most vigorous outline I've ever done. I'm sure if you listen to this podcast, you know, I don't really do an outline. I just kind of sit down and chat. And so I did a really intense outline. And I recorded an episode that was like an hour and a half long. And it was just too, because of the person I am, I'm not going to be recommending specific products or a specific skincare routine because I don't believe that is the way to get everyone clear skin. I was merely trying to talk through some of the science of skincare. And a lot of this episode will be similar, but I did take out a lot because at one point I just, as I was listening back, I was thinking, what part of me is doing this to prove that I know this? And what part of me feels like this is helpful? And unfortunately, the latter did not outweigh the first option. So it felt like a lot of what I was doing was just to prove that like I knew a lot about skincare. And I don't think that's normal. So I decided to cut that. And I was just going to trim it down, but I decided that I would just delete it and just act like it didn't even happen because it was really embarrassing. And I'm really in a good mood this evening because tomorrow I'm going to Florida. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be in the sun and let the sun hit my body. I'm so excited to read my book. It's just going to be me and my best friend Greta for her birthday. And I'm just so excited. So I just felt like I was going to bring a different energy today if I just sat down and re-recorded. I wasn't going to bring a know-it-all energy to the conversation. I just really wanted to chat about skincare. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about media and some books that I've read in the past week. And what else? I kind of want to talk about Taylor Swift in Paris. And the only thing I want to say is I hate it when Kelly Teller is not present at the event because there were so many moments of Gigi recording Travis, Ross Travis recording Travis and Gigi, and Bradley Cooper, who was just bringing like a really weird vibe to the whole thing. But I like it when Kelly is there because we will literally get a 30-slide flipogram of the whole event. And I miss her. Like, where is she? Why hasn't she been with Taylor? Anywho, that's my only note from Paris. I loved the addition of TTPD. I really think that the set for TTPD is more than we could have imagined. And now it really rivals Reputation for best set of the evening. I truly, truly believe that. So that's my notes on that. Moving on to books, I finished Anne of Green Gables and then I started and finished Demon Copperhead last week, which was such a lovely book. If you do not know, it is based off of the book by Charles Dickens called David Copperfield, not to be confused with The Magician. But it is based off of a book called David Copperfield by Charles Dickens, and it is set in a much later time, though. And I guess, well, it's like the 1960s, I think. Well, like the 1980s. You know what? She didn't really give a firm year, but at one point I did look something that he said. I was able to look up that the year was 2003, but that was later in the book. You know, whatever. She didn't give a firm date, but basically, it was about growing up in poverty, and the setting, the actual setting, the location where the book is set is where my grandfather grew up. And they actually mentioned where my dad went to high school several times because it's such a small area. And I just felt like I really connected with the book because of that. They also talked about farming tobacco, which is something that my grandfather did and my dad did. So I just loved the book. Five stars. Anywhere I could give it five stars, I couldn't give a louder five stars than I am on this podcast right now. I loved it so much. Now I'm starting A Court of Thorns and Roses. Is that what it's called? I always call it the wrong name. Hang on. I don't have it in here. It's the one that's a trilogy and it's about fairies. It's fantasy. I don't even think it's a trilogy. I think there's actually five of them. Anywho, I got it buy one, get one free at Target. If y'all don't know, apparently nobody is buying books at Target anymore. And if you go to Target, their books are literally always on sale. And I got Demon Copperhead and A Court of Thorns and Roses. I really think that's what it's called, but I don't know if I'm getting it confused with Guns and Roses. And I don't have the book with me at present. I think I left it outside. Anywho, it was buy one, get one free. So I know we need to shop small, shop local. But until the shop small, shop local can match $12 for a book at Target, I will be at Target. I love y'all, but my bank account is not with you at the moment. I'll be back. So that's what I'm reading at the moment. I'm taking the first and second book of that series to Florida with me. And if I don't like it, I'll get another book at a local bookstore. How about that? I will get another book at a local bookstore if I start the first book, or I'm already currently reading the first book. But if I don't like the first book at the end, I will go to a local bookstore and I will get another book. Buyer's choice, aka me. I will pick the book. I was going to say y'all could pick the book, but I will pick the book. Anywho, I have not been watching much TV because literally all I've been doing is reading. That's how I read a 500-page book in 3 days. Oh, and I was writing that like humongous ass outline for the last podcast that I recorded and will be scrapped and no one will ever hear it because it was really embarrassing. When I listened to it back, like I was actually really embarrassed. So let's just get into it. Let's get into skincare. I promise I'm not going to be a know-it-all. I'm just going to be your friend. I'm just going to be your helpful pal. And if you want to take any of this advice, take it with a grain of salt because I am not a board certified dermatologist. This is just what has worked for moi and what I like.
Just for some context, I have struggled with my skin since I was in probably sixth grade. And I went to the dermatologist. My mom was very proactive in taking me to the dermatologist. And I did a myriad of things. I did topical creams. I did medication that I took orally. I did just ran the gamut of things. And eventually I began taking Accutane. And the first time I took it, I think I was in eighth grade. And I would go on to be on Accutane 4 separate times. So I've been on Accutane a total of 4 times. If you don't know what Accutane is, it is a brand name for a medication that is medically known as isotretinoin. So it is a retinoid, but it is a pill form of a retinoid. And it is very highly, highly regulated. So every time I was on Accutane, I had to be on 2 forms of birth control. It doesn't matter if you choose abstinence as one of them, which I did being in eighth grade. I chose abstinence and then also had to take birth control because there are very high risk if you become pregnant while you're on this medication. So I was on 2 different types of birth control, and I partially believe that going on and off and on and off and on and off of birth control was partially to blame for how bad my acne got by the time I was a freshman, sophomore in college. And probably by my junior year of college, I came off of it for the last time my freshman year. And by my junior year of college, I really wanted to figure out how to do something for myself. I was tired of going to the dermatologist and putting a Band-Aid on it. And for those of you that are wondering, Accutane is a wonderful drug. It is very stressful on your body because it dries you from the inside out. I'm not kidding. You have to make sure that you are taking the proper precautions if you do go on Accutane. But it does work for many, many people. I believe I'm one of the rare cases where it didn't work. And I think part of the reason why it didn't work for me was prescriber error, because I was so young. They never wanted me to be on it for long. But once you go on Accutane, you can be on it for 3 months and your skin will start to clear. That's how effective it is. And so every time my skin would start to clear, they would take me off of it. And then my acne would just come back. And all of the research that I've done about Accutane since that time is that you need to be on it for at least 6 months for it to have lasting effect. So every time I was on it, I was probably on it for around 3 to 4 months. And during that time, you have to go every month and get your blood drawn. You have to answer all these questions online to be able to pick up your prescription. It's just a very harrowing process. And so doing that 4 times was very stressful. Being on and off birth control a lot did not help the situation. So by the time I arrived at my junior year of college, I was still really, really struggling with my skin and decided that I wanted to take action and stop waiting for the dermatologist to do something.
So naturally, I started watching every YouTube video I could find. I started buying anything I could find that I thought might help my skin. I started doing a ton of research about skin in general, about the skin on your face, about the layers of the skin on your face. I just started doing a ton of research, and it really came out of necessity. It wasn't that I was so intrigued. But as I've gotten older, it is something that I find really, really fascinating, and I love learning about new ingredients. I love learning about new products. There's a handful of, I would say, skincare devices that I use that I'll share towards the end of this podcast. And yeah, I just want to kind of start out by talking about, I promise this is the only sciencey part that I will include in this podcast. But I do think it's important to talk about your actual skin and understand some of the anatomy and the layers of your skin to really understand skincare. So, of course, we know our skin is our largest organ on our body. And once I found out that your skin can weigh up to 8 pounds on an average person, that made me feel really good. So that's why I don't weigh myself, because there's just too many factors. So, okay, there are 3 layers to your skin. The very bottom layer that we'll talk about is the hypodermis. So you can think of this as the foundation of the house that is your skin. It provides support and structure, and it's primarily made up of adipose tissue, which is fat, and connective tissue, which is collagen and elastin, which you'll hear as we talk through these layers. Those two pieces are very, very important. Collagen and elastin, you'll hear them over and over again. So I don't want to go too crazy deep on the hypodermis, but I do want everyone to understand the changes that occur in the hypodermis as you age and how that can impact your skin's appearance. So there are several changes that can occur. The first one being you can fluctuate in fat distribution. Now, when I'm talking about your face, obviously this can happen all over your body, but in regards to your face, you might have some areas that experience fate. I was going to say face, and then I was going to say fat. So you might have some areas that experience fat loss, and that can lead to a hollowed out or more sunken appearance, which is what's really popular in Hollywood right now. And a lot of people remove fat on purpose, which I think is crazy because fat loss can result in the formation of wrinkles and sagging skin. And then on the opposite scale of that, you might accumulate excess fat, which would be a fuller or a more rounded face. But with the accumulation of fat, it could accumulate in your jawline or your neck area. And this is when you'll see the creation of the appearance of like jowls or even a double chin. So the next two kind of go together. You can see decreased collagen production, which you will see as you age. I think they say by the time you turn 25 is when your collagen really starts to, that production starts to slow down. And then by the time you hit 30, you're losing 1% of your collagen production every year after that. So collagen, of course, is a protein that provides strength, support, and elasticity to the skin, and it kind of works in tandem with elastin fiber. So as these start to diminish, you'll see that your skin loses a lot of firmness and resilience, and it doesn't bounce back from stretching or movement like it used to. So this can result in the formation of wrinkles, fine lines, creases, and just like skin laxity overall. So when you think about losing skin elasticity, this contributes to wrinkles, folds, sagging skin, and this is particularly in areas that are prone to repetitive movement and gravitational force. So this is literally your face, your neck, your décolletage, which is your chest. So the last thing I want to talk about is actual thinning of the hypodermis. And this is when it becomes thinner due to all of the things that I just listed previously. And it can lead to actual visibility of underlying structures. So if you start to see blood vessels under your eyes, that's an example of a thinning hypodermis. And I know definitely there are certain days when I can see the blood vessels under my eyes. So that's where that comes from. The next layer in our skin sandwich, so it's the middle, it's a thicker layer called the dermis. And don't get me wrong, the hypodermis is pretty thick as well, but the dermis is actually split into two parts, and it's much thicker than the epidermis, which is your top layer of skin. So the dermis splits into the papillary dermis and the reticular dermis. And in these two layers, there's a ton of blood vessels that bring in oxygen and nutrients to your skin and take away waste. There's nerve endings in the papillary dermis, so that's where all the nerve endings are for you to feel touch on your skin. And then in the papillary dermis, there are a bunch of tiny, tiny little structures called papilla, which I like to think of as fingers that reach up into the bottom of your top layer of skin and keep those two layers connected. Now, the reticular dermis is a little bit deeper, so it houses larger blood vessels, but essentially all the same. What you'll see change here, though, is skin, is sweat glands and hair follicles live in the reticular dermis. Now, in both the papillary dermis and the reticular dermis, there's a ton of collagen, there's a ton of elastin fibers. You can think of this layer very similar to the hypodermis as a scaffold that really holds up your skin. So your epidermis, it is the scaffolding for your epidermis, which is your visible skin. So no surprise, the outermost layer of the skin is the epidermis. This is a very thin layer, but it is your body's first line of defense against anything external. So any UV radiation, any pathogens, and any pollution from the environment. So a lot of times in dermatology, they will call this epidermis layer your skin barrier. And a lot can happen to this barrier to disrupt it. So I'm sure that you've heard of people trying to heal their skin barrier or repair their barrier. There's a lot of the word barrier in a lot of skincare products on the market right now. It's kind of a hot word right now, but it can be disruptive by things internally or things externally. So you can have genetic components into this, that like eczema or things of that nature, or any kind of high level of stress or an illness that can affect you internally. Or you can have extrinsic factors like harsh weather elements, like think of a sunburn or a windburn. One of the things that really disrupts my barrier is when the weather changes here in the winter. So if you go from a really warm room outside into freezing cold weather, that can affect your barrier. And it definitely affects my skin every single year. I experience a breakout as my skin starts to get used to the change. And also I have to adjust my products at that time of the year. But there's also things like exposure to potential chemical irritants. So there are certain skincare actives that if you jump into them too quickly, like an alpha hydroxy acid or a retinoid, that can disrupt your barrier, or any soaps that contain like sodium lauryl sulfate or like physical irritants that can scrub on your skin. And that's on top of pollution, cigarette smoke, poor sleep, allergies. Like, there are so many things that can impact the barrier of your skin. I think barrier disruption can present in a myriad of ways, though. So if you feel like you struggle to keep moisture in and your skin feels very dry and tight, that could be a clue that you are suffering from an impaired barrier. It could also be flaky or sting when you use an active skincare product. You might also even break out or get rosacea or some type of eczema, and your skin can definitely appear redder and darker than its original color. Plus, one of the symptoms I always get when this happens is I get super itchy on my jaw. So if you start to experience itchiness or a change in texture and you feel bumpier and rougher than normal, you might be experiencing an impaired skin barrier. So you are probably thinking, this is great, but I kind of knew something was wrong when my skin was stinging every time I applied a product and flaking off my body. So how do I fix it? So repairing your skin barrier takes time. That is the one thing I will say. Once you experience this, and even when you start on the right track to repairing it, it might get worse before it gets better. The one thing about skincare is you have to be consistent or it will never work. If you start a product for a week and it doesn't do anything, quote unquote, and you stop it, you will never see the benefits. I think you need to take a month, take maybe 2 months, and really simplify your skincare routine. So start by identifying and excluding anything that you think might be contributing to the damage, such as definitely stop active skincare products and, of course, external factors. So I would strip your skincare routine back to bare bones, like cleanser, maybe a serum, a nice hydrating serum, something that has hyaluronic acid in it. And then I would do a light emulsion, maybe, and then a thicker ceramide rich moisturizer. Those are two ingredients, hyaluronic acid and ceramides, that are very, very good to soothe and hydrate your skin. Now I want to shift gears into identifying your skin type, which I think is crucial for selecting appropriate skincare products and developing an effective skincare routine for you, because everybody's skin is so different and they need a routine that is tailored to them. So there's several different types of skin that have been identified. If you have normal skin, I'm not talking to you, okay? This is well-balanced, adequate hydration, minimal sensitivity, very few visible imperfections. If this is you don't need this podcast. You're good. The other three types that I will talk about, well, I guess four technically. There is dry skin, of course. This is a skin type that is lacking moisture and oil. You probably often feel tightness or rough, and this can appear as skin that looks pretty dull or ashy, and this type of skin is really prone to fine lines, redness, irritation, all of the things. The next type is the exact opposite. So we have oily skin, which is characterized by an excess sebum production. And this would present as skin that may feel slick or greasy to the touch, particularly in your T-zone, which is your forehead, nose, and chin. And you probably have makeup that slips and slides throughout the day. Anybody ringing any bells? And then we have the very lovely combination skin, which is a combination of both oily and dry. So you have some regions, typically the T-zone, that are oily, or more oily and prone to breakouts than other areas of your face, which might be more dry and sensitive, like your cheeks. So this obviously presents many challenges in trying to find products that address both oily and dry areas without causing further imbalances in your skin. And then you also have sensitive skin, which I didn't realize I've been living with sensitive skin my entire life. This is skin that is prone to reactions such as redness, burning, itching, stinging in response to certain products. Anything external could trigger you, or even changes in the weather. You probably exhibit signs of dryness, a little bit of inflammation here and there, and a compromised skin barrier. So you have to be extra careful with things like fragrance, any extreme temperature or UV exposure. So that is sensitive skin. This is the type of skin that I have. And so I have to take very careful looks at the things that I'm putting on my face. So I would encourage everyone that's listening to this podcast to just conduct a simple self-assessment. You can Google, there's a million resources online to help you assess your skin and determine your skin type. I would say it might be nice to just start observing your skin day to day. Note any changes in oiliness, dryness in different areas, any sensitivity, even looking at your skin in different lighting conditions. And if you're still having trouble after that, I would suggest talking to a dermatologist or a skincare specialist for something that's more accurate to what kind of skin you have so that you can start working to address specific concerns. Which there are so many skin concerns. I'm not going to dive into all of the skin concerns that you could possibly address because there's just too many. But I did want to emphasize that a lot of skincare concerns, even though you may have a genetic predisposition, something like acne you might be more predisposed to, something like hyperpigmentation, eczema, those things, you might be more genetically predisposed to those. However, things like diet, stress levels, sleep quality, your skincare habits overall, any environmental exposure like sun, wind, those things, they can either exacerbate or alleviate these conditions. So I'm not minimizing anybody's struggle with acne, hyperpigmentation, eczema. I'm just saying it is noted and tested that a healthy lifestyle and skincare practices can minimize the impact of some genetic predisposed and environmental triggers on your skin health. That's all I'm going to say about that. Now I want to break down the components of what I believe to be a really well-rounded skincare routine, and I'll kind of detail the purpose and the benefit of each step. As you guys can tell, I took copious notes to go through the skincare process, which I've taken a lot out, but I'm really loving how the episode is coming together so far. Anywho, so the first step of any routine should be to cleanse. And of course, the purpose of this step is to remove dirt, oil, makeup, pollution, any other impurities from the surface of your skin. Now, the benefit of this would be to prevent clogged pores and breakouts that are caused by excess oil and debris. It also enhances the efficacy of the skincare to follow. So as you heard about the three layers of the skin, you want skincare that is really effective. So cleaning your skin is only going to create a clean canvas for better absorption. It can also help maintain your natural pH balance and barrier function. And it also just feels refreshing. No, like I put on there that a benefit of it is just that it feels refreshing. So some of my tips for cleansing, and I don't have that many, but at night I love to double cleanse, especially if you wear makeup every day. You definitely need an oil-based cleanser that you're using first. You don't have to get anything crazy. There is a $9 Korean oil cleanser that I started with when I was a junior in college. And I got it off Amazon. Now I get it in Chinatown here in Chicago, but you can get it off Amazon. I've gotten it 1,000 times and it works. And you just break up all that makeup, dirt, everything, sunscreen on your face, and then go in following with a foaming cleanser. You can use a gel cleanser or a cream cleanser, which I prefer a cream cleanser. And then you really have done it. You really have cleaned your skin. And I would recommend to pat your face dry. Do not rub down on your face with a towel. That only encourages sagging. Okay, I'm not saying you can stop it, but I'm saying you can help. The next step, which is a step that I skipped for years, but now I will never skip, is toning. So a toner follows a cleanser on a cotton pad, and typically it will help rebalance your skin's pH level. And it will also help to remove any trace of anything that you missed when you were washing your face. So the benefit of this, of course, is that it helps to remove any remaining dirt, oil, makeup that you could have missed. And it restores your natural pH, which can be disrupted by specific cleansers if you're not careful on the ingredients, or by tap water itself. So this also helps to prep your skin for better absorption of your serums and everything to follow. And you can also find some that have really nice ingredients to help soothe your skin and just add additional hydration. It's all up to your research, whatever you want to do there. So the next step is your treatment step. So this includes serums and actives. So the purpose of this is to use products that are formulated with really potent ingredients to address specific concerns. like acne, like hyperpigmentation, fine lines, dullness. I mean, you can run the gamut on things that these products can address. So the benefit here is that you're getting these concentrated doses of active ingredients that will penetrate really deeply into those three layers to deliver results. And you can get so specific on what you want to target. So you can target acne, dark spots, wrinkles, like I said, uneven texture. It will help improve your skin tone, your texture, and your overall complexion. The next step is a moisturizer. So, of course, this will help to hydrate, nourish, protect your skin, and seal everything that you've just put on your skin in, and to help fortify your skin's natural barrier, like we talked about earlier. And so, to me, those are all the benefits right there. Hydration, softer skin, helps with texture, seals in moisture, and it also can help strengthen your skin barrier for future protection from environmental stressors. So the final step would be sun protection. Now, I believe skincare is essential. No matter how long you're going to be outside, you should wear sunscreen, because this will protect, of course, from harmful UV radiation, which can not only cause premature aging, but it can also cause sunburn and increase your risk of skin cancer. Definitely the benefit here would be that you can shield your skin from both UVA and UVB rays. To me, I think that's a really good basic skincare routine. And depending on your individual needs and concerns, you can add additional steps or treatments that you could incorporate, something like exfoliation, which I do believe exfoliation is really, really important. I don't think that you need to do it daily because it can cause irritation, especially if you have sensitive skin, but I'm not going to get into too much of exfoliation right now. You could also do a sheet mask or a mask around the time that you do your serums and let that sink in as well. These can be used to hydrate, detoxify, there's so many masks out there. Or an eye cream. So this can target dark circles, puffiness, or fine lines around the eyes. There's so many different types of eye creams if that's something that you want to add to your routine. Now I'm going to go over some of my favorite ingredients. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, I'm not going to be recommending specific products. If you have listened to this podcast for long enough, you know where my loyalties lie. My loyalties lie mainly in Korean skincare and a lot in the brand Naturium. So with that being said, I'm not going to be recommending specific products just because I think skincare is so personal. But the first ingredient that I'm going to be talking about is one of my very favorites, and that is hyaluronic acid. I've already mentioned it several times, but the mechanism of action here is that hyaluronic acid is a humectant, and so it attracts and retains moisture in your skin, which of course helps to hydrate and plump your skin cells. So this is also like a really important ingredient to help maintain your skin's natural barrier function, and it supports collagen creation. So this is something that I use every single night. It can help reduce the appearance of fine lines, wrinkles, improve firmness, and just overall texture and radiance. The only side effect I think that hyaluronic acid has, I think it's generally well tolerated by most skins. It's very gentle, but on the rare case that you might have an allergic reaction, or people that have super duper sensitive skin, this might cause, in the rare case, a reaction for you. The next ingredient I want to talk about is something that I think a lot of people have questions about, and that is retinoids. So retinoids are derivatives of vitamin A that work by increasing cell turnover. They stimulate collagen production, which we know is very important, and they promote the shedding of dead skin cells. So this can make them very effective for treating acne and improving skin texture. They come in a lot of different shapes and sizes, I'll say. So some of them are more geared towards acne. Some of them are kind of more geared towards just overall skin clarity. So I kind of want to break down retinoids commonly used in skincare. So the first one that I will talk about is retinol. And this is kind of a precursor to retinoic acid. It is an active form of vitamin A, but it has to go through two conversions once it is applied to your skin to become retinoic acid. So this makes it less potent than a prescription strength retinoid. So that makes it more suitable for people that have sensitive skin or people that are new to using a retinoid. The next form of retinoic acid is a retinaldehyde. So this, I would say, is an intermediate form of vitamin A, and it only goes through one conversion before it turns to retinoic acid on your skin. So it's a little bit faster and more efficient for absorption and efficacy. And in some cases, it is available over the counter, but you can also find prescription strength formulations of this. I know Naturium has a really nice retinaldehyde that I have used in the past. And the last, or I guess I have two more, but the retinoic acid itself, also known as tretinoin, which a lot of people use these days, is the active form of vitamin A and the most potent retinoid available for topical use. Tretinoin is available by prescription, and you can use it to treat a myriad of conditions, acne, psoriasis, aging. And it works because it binds to specific retinoic acid receptors in your skin, regulating gene expression and promoting cell turnover and collagen synthesis. So it just basically goes through zero conversion once it's on your skin. So it's very, very strong. And then the last one that I'll talk about, there's actually a new synthetic retinoid. I have two that I'll talk about, but I don't know much about tazarotene, which I think is new, but adapalene is a third generation synthetic retinoid that is structurally related to retinoic acid, but it exhibits specific receptor selectivity, so it is less irritating on your skin. And this is available both over the counter, and you can get prescription strength formulations of this, and it is primarily used to treat acne. If you have ever seen Differin gel, this is an over-the-counter form of adapalene. I promise this is probably the most sciencey that I'm going to get, but there are, like I said, there's those two synthetic retinoids that are pretty structurally similar to retinoic acid, but they have that receptor selectivity, so they're not as harsh on your skin. Now, I want to say with retinol, retinoic acid, retinaldehyde, all these things, the goal is not to, every time you stop experiencing the purging, the flaking skin, the sensitivity, that you move up to another level of a retinol or a retinoic acid. I think the goal is to get to the point where you are using a retinol, retinoic acid, retinaldehyde with zero side effects, but you're still getting the benefit. So I don't view retinols as a ladder. I think you have to find what works best for you, and you have to stick with it, because once you stop, you could potentially have to reintroduce it, and you'll get all of the purging and redness and sensitivity that you get when you first start a retinol. If you are taking a retinol, make sure that you are wearing your sunscreen. I prefer to use this type of product at night, and make sure that you are wearing sunscreen during the day. So it's really important to start with maybe a lower concentration and gradually increase frequency so that you minimize the side effects. Now, if you have great results and you are past the stage of mess in the beginning, like I said, that doesn't mean you have to jump up. If you then get to the point where it's no longer irritating your skin and you don't have the results that you want, that's when I would suggest moving up to another level or a higher concentration. Now, the next ingredient that I love is vitamin C, and this is a super potent antioxidant. It neutralizes free radicals, which eat away at your collagen. By the way, if you are not aware of what a free radical does in your skin, it eats away at the collagen and elastin, and it also protects you from UV damage. It brightens your skin by inhibiting melanin production, and it also promotes collagen creation and helps improve your skin tone and texture. So, of course, I'm going to use anything that's going to decrease the appearance of dark spots, hyperpigmentation, previous sun damage, anything that results in a more even complexion, I'm on board. The next one is also super near and dear to my heart, and this is niacinamide, which is vitamin B3. So this is a super multifunctional ingredient that will help regulate sebum production. It reduces inflammation and really helps to strengthen your skin barrier. It's also very gentle. So this is another one of those things that inhibits inhibits melanin production, which makes it super effective for treating hyperpigmentation and uneven skin tone. Of course, I've already listed 1,000 benefits, but it does help improve the appearance of enlarged pores, fine lines, wrinkles, and can help prevent against environmental damage. It's also very soothing. It makes my skin very soft. It balances my overall skin health and resilience. So there ain't not a thing wrong about that. The last one that I'm going to talk about. Well, I have two more. Sorry. I have two more. The second to last ingredient I'm going to talk about are peptides. And these are short chains of amino acids that help to stimulate collagen production. If you can't tell, I'm huge on collagen production. We take collagen every morning in hot water in this house. So I will do anything to promote collagen production, improves skin elasticity, and can also help with the appearance of wrinkles and fine lines. And overall can help support a more youthful complexion. So these really, really help to strengthen your skin's natural barrier, which in turn can enhance moisture retention and protect against environmental stressors that we've already talked about. So another thing I love about peptides is they help to neutralize free radicals, and free radicals eat away at your collagen, which in turn, premature aging. So these also help to prevent premature aging. We hate free radicals in this house. I have not even said what a free radical is, but essentially they are unstable molecules that can cause cell damage, including cells in your skin. Like I said, they can break down collagen and elastin. They also can cause illness in your body. So I think this is a nice place to talk about the role of nutrition in your skin health. I'm not gonna harp on here long, but antioxidants are compounds that I'm sure you've heard of, but they can neutralize free radicals. So there are many sources of antioxidants in things like fruit, like berries, citrus fruit, even like more tropical fruits like papaya and kiwi I've seen have a large, rich source of vitamin C, which is a super potent antioxidant. You can also get vitamin E, which in addition to seeds and nuts, things like almonds, walnuts, flax seeds, chia seeds, you can also find vitamin E in things like avocado, spinach, broccoli, and even vegetable oils like sunflower oil, safflower, and olive oil. So this is a super powerful antioxidant. The second thing, or third thing, I guess I would say, is eating a lot of vegetables. If you eat a lot of dark leafy greens, spinach, kale, carrots, things like that, sweet potatoes, bell peppers, those are all packed with beta carotene, and that is a precursor to vitamin A that helps repair and regenerate skin cells. So that's just a little bit of a way that you can insert some skin ingredients into your everyday diet to help combat free radicals. The last ingredient I'm going to talk about is ceramides. So these are lipids that are naturally occurring in your skin, and they help to maintain your skin's moisture barrier, prevent moisture loss, and prevent against environmental damage. I feel like a broken record here. I guess that you can see the things that I really prioritize in my skincare, and these help to restore and maintain your hydration levels. It is so hard to get adequately hydrated that I will do anything to help maintain it. So these prevent dryness, flakiness, they can help with texture, and just improve your overall skin resilience. So anytime I find a moisturizer that is ceramide rich, sign me up. I know Naturium has a really good one. I've used it several times as kind of like a deep moisturizer, like a second layer at night, just because it's almost too heavy to wear in the day, but it is gorgeous. I mean, you wake up just glowing. So this is where I will end the podcast. I've had so much fun doing this, but I want to touch on one last thing, and I think it's been really important to me over the last several weeks, and that is the mind-skin connection. So if you've listened to this entire podcast, bless you, but we talked a lot about how stress can lead to, I mean, not a lot, but I mentioned it several times, how stress can lead to premature aging, breakdown of collagen, all of the things. And so I'm not sure if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I am getting trained to teach yoga. So I'm doing a ton of yoga lately because I have to meet my class requirement of classes that I take during my training. I won't be done till August. But with that being said, I feel like I've been doing a lot of stress management techniques. So a lot of meditating, a lot of deep breathing exercises, and a lot of yoga and stretching. And I think that it has really been a benefit to my overall skin health and appearance. I typically do hot yoga, so the sweating has really been good for my skin. A lot of this can help improve circulation. It can help with lymphatic drainage. It can also help alleviate tension and support detoxification with all of the sweating. So I think that yoga has also been a game changer in the skin all over my body, not just my face. And then also spending a lot of time outdoors. I've been trying to spend a lot of time outside with the dogs, walking the dogs. Just, it's been so profound for my mental and emotional well-being. So those are two things I just wanted to mention. I don't think it's all skincare products. I don't think it's all what you eat. I think it's a combination really of your lifestyle as a whole. And I really just want to empower all of you to take ownership of your skincare journey and really start to understand your skin and the unique needs and preferences of your skin. I'm definitely not someone that's going to tell you to just break away from Western medicine and do all of your own stuff. I think there are many situations in where Western medicine will heal you. I want to empower you to go to the dermatologist. I want to empower you to have the conversations. I know it's embarrassing to go to the dermatologist with no makeup, with your face full of acne. I have been there many times. I have cried many times. I just think that skincare is so close to your mental health, and a lot of, I'm not saying you're going to have perfect skin at the end of this. I don't have perfect skin. I am the main buyer of pimple patches in the state of Illinois, and I feel so much more confident in my skin because I have given myself control and honestly released control in many ways. I know my skin is not going to be perfect, and I'm just experimenting and exploring and listening to my skin and adjusting my routines accordingly. Any skincare blogs, books, podcasts I listen to, I will link on the podcast. And I want to support you guys on this journey. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. I am not a board certified dermatologist, but I do love this stuff. And thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it. I hope it was beneficial. I hope you learned something. And if you enjoyed it, please be sure to leave a rating and a review and follow the podcast on Spotify and also on Instagram to stay involved in the conversation at The Ladies Ordinary on Instagram. Thank you guys so much. I hope you have a fabulous weekend. I love you all. Talk to you next week. Talk to you very soon. Talk to you Tuesday.